This series, we're looking at Luke's Gospel, working our way through Luke's Gospel, and we discovered that Luke has several characteristics in his writings, and he's the only Gentile New Testament author. All the rest are Jewish, so he's, shall we say, a foreigner then, if you like, and he has his own distinctive style in writing. He is a doctor, so he uses doctor's terminology. He doesn't say you've got a... he uses the proper medical term. He says, "You've got man flu, Alan." And but he uses several words that are medically that you learn in a textbook, and you'd expect that. He's got a doctor's mentality, but because he's a Gentile, one of his characteristics of Luke is that he is very keen on letting his readers know that the gospel is for everybody, not just for the Jewish nation, but for Gentiles as well, for everybody, whether you're Greek, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. And the Good Samaritan, for instance, the Samaritan, the foreigner, the despised Samaritan, it's only found in Luke's gospel. Luke is keen to let people know that the gospel is for everybody, even Samaritans. And he mentioned that, the outreach, that whether you're male, female, rich, poor, young, old, it doesn't really matter. The gospel is for everybody, each one of us. He mentions, there's a lot of eating in Luke's gospel. He mentions meals and singing. Sorry, that just threw me then. I thought it was my pacemaker going then. It was the... There we are, all is restored. Yeah. There's lots of meals, there's a lot of feasting in Luke's gospel. A lot of table talk, if you like. A lot of meals. Anyway, last week we looked at the a man who was cured of leprosy, and this week we're going to look at a man who was called to follow Jesus. The call of Levi, who is also called Matthew. That's what we read in Matthew's got. The identical story I read, didn't I, from Matthew chapter 9. It's the identical story. And here is the story that Jesus is out. He sees a tax man called Levi. Levi is his Hebrew name. He was a Jewish man, Levi. And he sees this man called Levi. When he met Jesus, Jesus gave him a new name, Matthew, which means the gift of God. Jesus gave him but he's known as at school I was known to the teachers as Thorpe, but amongst my friends I was Alan. Two names, but the same person, Matthew and Levi, the same person. So he's out, he sees this tax collector, this tax man called Levi. He calls him, "Follow me," and Levi, Matthew, responds. He says yes to Jesus. He decides, as we've been singing, he decides to follow Jesus. No turning. And so pleased is he with his decision to follow Jesus that he throws a party for his meal, for his friends, for his type of people, for tax collectors, and in the Bible it's in inverted commas, and sinners, for his type of people. His friends. And of course the religious people, the Pharisees, they look on and they start to complain and they say, what's this Jesus doing mixing with this type of riffraff? What's he doing? And Jesus said, you know, we're all sick, whether we are religious or rascals. Or whether we are religious rascals. So we all need a doctor. We all need a cure. But at least these rascals are doing something about it. At least they're getting cured. And that's the story that we have read twice, but that's the story in a further nutshell, if you like. So here is Levi. This we used to do a little, get the boys and girls out, four of them with cards. Levi, L-E-V-I. Levi. And by putting the first one at the end, he becomes evil, doesn't he? By juggling it about a bit, he becomes vile, Levi. And when he met Jesus, he began to live. Another of the four letters, Levi. Will you remember that then? Levi, vile, evil. And then he lived. But we can call him Matthew, the gift of God. He's a civil servant. He is, the Bible says, a tax man. He probably was evil, wasn't he? A tax man. He probably was a vile man, because he was a tax... Boo, hiss, we would say, if we were at the pantomime. Here's the tax man. He was collecting taxes at Capernaum, which is on the Sea of Galilee, that inland sea. And he would get a fish tax. When the boats come in, he would be there in his booth, and he would tax the fish, as it were. It was on a major route, trading route, major roads, and he would be there. And as the trade caravans came by, he would stop them, and they would have to pay their taxes on all their merchandise. Now, we know our tax rules. We know that, yeah, you can earn a certain amount, and then you have to pay a percentage of the rest. But it wasn't clear back then. It wasn't clear at all. And so what used to happen was that the tax collectors would take what they wanted, really. They would, because they had to pay the Romans, their Roman overlords. They had to pay foreigners. And so they would, I'll just make up this figure. They would take 20%, the Romans. So the tax collector would take 25% or 30%. And the extra 5, 10%, he would pocket that. That would be an Asda job, back pocket. He would keep it for himself. Now, so a taxman was hated not only for taking taxes, but he worked for the Romans as well, for the overlords. They really were boo, hiss, evil, vile people, these tax collectors. They were despised. And yet, as we've said, as we last week and again, characteristics of Luke's Gospel of Luke is that the love of God is for everybody. Even these vile, evil tax collectors. So, as David read for us, verse 27, Jesus went out and he saw a collector. I saw some primroses last week, because we weren't just lambing all the time. Primrose, aren't they lovely? As you come down Abbotsham Hill here, and the daffodils, aren't they lovely? I could see some chairs soon to disappear. I can see people as well. But I saw the primroses, I see the chairs. That's not what the word says. The word actually says, I saw a chair. I am staring at a chair. Jesus didn't just see primroses or daffodils or chairs. He stared at Levi. He saw Matthew, and the word is he stared. He paid close attention to this man. Jesus focused his gaze upon Levi, fixing his eyes constantly. Very often, I'm talking to the men folk now, you know if you get a look from your wife, don't you? And you know what that look means. You know. Don't need a voice. Jesus looked at this man. I wonder, did he think, you rotter, you vile, you evil? Perhaps he wasn't used to folk, but maybe he was used to folk staring and spitting and saying nasty things. But Jesus looked at this, he stared at this man, and instead of spitting and cursing, Jesus said, follow me, my friend, follow me. And verse 28, Levi got up, left everything, and followed Jesus. You know, earlier in the chapter, Jesus called fishermen Simon, James, and John, and we read in chapter 5, verse 11, the same words. They left everything and followed. Suppose for those fishermen it didn't work out, that they decided to follow Jesus and they did turn back. Suppose it didn't work out. Well, they could go back to their fishing. They could go back to their trade. Matthew couldn't. This taxman couldn't. He'd burnt his bridges. He was a civil servant. And that would be the end of his career. He left everything. He just got up, left everything, and followed. He didn't say, let me first go and bury my father. Let me first go and say goodbye to my friends and my family. Let me give a month's notice. No, he got up, left everything, and there was no hesitation in his decision. And so overjoyed was he with his decision to follow Jesus, so thrilled was he with salvation's blessing, with this salvation experience, that he invited his friends to what we call an evangelistic, to a harvest supper, if you like, to a meal event, to a dinner, to hear Jesus for themselves. That's what it says in verse 29. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. He wanted them to hear of Jesus as well. Someone said Levi wanted more of the presence of Christ. He wanted Jesus in his house. He wanted the presence of Christ. He wanted to increase the pleasure of Christ, because this just wasn't a banquet. This was a great banquet. This was a proper meal. The presence of Christ, the pleasure of Christ that he could give. And he wanted, thirdly, to assist the purpose of Christ. So he provided a congregation. He invited people, his friends, to hear this great teacher. This was Levi's first great missionary effort. A sort of alpha course, if you like. You know, the idea that we have, like we do at Harvest Supper, you've got your tables and your meals, and like the men's breakfasts and all the women's lunches, whatever. One of Luke's emphases is eating and meals together. So here is this, verse 29, this large crowd of tax collectors and others, and that others covers the multitude. There's thieves and outcasts and prostitutes. Let's say the outcasts, Matthew's colleagues, if you like. He'd left his job, but he'd not left his friends. He'd not left his associates. So he invited them. Someone said in one of the commentaries I read, a converted man will not wish to go to heaven alone. And it's true, isn't it? When we found new life, we want to tell others, not only about the seven brethren industrial estate, but we want to tell others about Jesus and share the good news. Tell out my soul the greatness. But verse 30 tells us the Pharisees and the scribes complained. Well, they didn't complain to Jesus, they complained to the disciples. Verse 30 says that. Why do you eat? And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law complained to Jesus' disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? What's Jesus doing with that sort of riffraff? These outcasts, the characteristic of Luke, outcasts. What's Jesus doing with these? You know, if Jesus is such a holy person, why is he mixing with ungodly people? They tried to discredit Jesus. But Jesus heard. Jesus knew what they were about anyway. He heard them. And it was Jesus who answered in verse 31. He said, I will read it. It says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. So what Jesus said in effect was, I know that they are sinners, and these are the very people I want to reach. These are the ones who know there's a problem. They are like patients needing a doctor. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus is saying, in effect, those who consider themselves well, righteous, good enough, They wouldn't seek cleansing. Oh, I don't need to come to Jesus. I'm good enough anyway. I can get to heaven by my own. Nothing wrong with me. It's the others. It's the others. They wouldn't seek cleansing. They wouldn't admit there was a problem. They wouldn't confess it. You know, there's a big danger for us today. We know about what we'll say down and outs, but there's also up and outs, you know. There are many people in churches today, and they've been brought up in church, and they've heard, they've sung the hymns, they don't need the hymn, but they know the Bible, and yet they've never personally come to put their faith and trust in Jesus. They're up, but they're still out. Like the down and out, he knows he's up, but an up and out, no, well, I'm good enough. I go to church, big danger. Well, Luke, universalism is one of his themes, you know, that the gospel is open to everybody. We all need to come just as we are. We all need the great physician. So that's the story, okay? So what's the application? Well, we see Matthew as a man with a pen, if you're a man with a brain. He was a tax collector. He had to write the books and keep the... He had to cook the books as well. He had to keep the score as it were. As it was. He eventually used that pen to write a gospel, didn't he? He used his Matthew's gospel. The most thorough of the four, actually. A clever man. A doctor. Very clever man. He used his pen. He used his brain. A man, I wonder what we can use in our evangelistic outreach. We might not be able to use a pen, to use brains. I've told this story before, a true story again, about a church in Glasgow, the Tron Church in Glasgow, an Anglican church, where the vicar was giving the people... He was trying to get them to respond to telling others, to outreach. And this woman thought she couldn't really do much. If she stood up to speak, the words were all wrong. They'd come out all wrong, and she couldn't know the right words. They got jumbled up, and she wasn't confident in telling others. But she could cook. And she made some broth. Scottish broth, how about that? And she made a great big bowl of this, and she went to her neighbour, four or five little ones, and times were hard. This is in the 1910s, 1920s, and she said to them, look, I've made some broth. Only she had a Scottish accent, not like mine. I made this broth, and would you like for your family? And, oh, thank you very much indeed. And then the next week she made some more and went to another family. And as the time went by, about 18 months later on, in the church, the minister was welcoming new members, all right? And I think there was 12 new members. And the woman sat there and she realised that 10 of them had been brought by broth. How about that? She didn't have to say too much, just by a little act of kindness, just by... not using her pen, but using what she had. And we can use what we have in bringing others to the Lord. Matthew, a man with a pen. Matthew, a man with a problem. You see, the day this man Jesus approached, Jesus didn't look the other way. He looked at the tax collector. He didn't spit at him. He didn't curse him. But he stared. At him. He looked at him, and that look had an appeal. In fact, he said, follow me. And that was the problem. Should he obey? Should he follow? Should he leave his accountancy? Should he leave his good lifestyle, his money that he'd robbed? That was the dilemma. That was the choice that he had. That was the was his problem, but he was on his feet and he followed. It wasn't a problem for long. He was up and he followed. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? This man didn't wait. He decided now, Matthew, Levi, now, immediately, to follow Jesus. A man with a pen, a man with a problem. Matthew, a man with a plan, if you like. Think about it. Matthew had never heard a sermon. Jesus just said, follow me. He'd not seen anybody healed. He might have heard, but he'd never seen anybody healed. He'd never seen any miracles, but he heard the invitation of Jesus. He heard the call of Jesus. He'd seen the face. He'd seen the face of Jesus. And he wanted to share. So Matthew made, verse 29 says, Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a great crowd of tax collectors and others were a great banquet for Jesus and his at his house. It was a great feast. Matthew could only give of his very best. That was his plan, to have this great feast and to invite his friends. A man with a pen, a man with a problem, a man with a plan, and then fourthly, finally, a man with a passion. You see, in life, as a taxman, he had taken so much. He'd taken. We might think the government's taking from us, but this man had taken the government's share and he'd taken. Now he just wanted to give something back. So from day one, Matthew wanted to tell others. So he brought them to hear. In fact, the tradition is that Matthew ended his days as a preacher, preaching in Ethiopia, actually. And that's the tradition. And I think there's some truth in that, actually. It's not just a tradition with a small t. I think there's... anyway, that's by the by. He wanted to tell others. He wanted to tell out what Jesus had done for him. What a great day that was for Matthew, wasn't it? What a great day when he first met Jesus. What a great decision he made to leave all. What a great devotion he made. A great banquet to leave all and follow. A great day, a great decision, a great devotion, and what a great desire he had to tell others, to invite people as he shared the gospel. This man with a pen had written so many names in his ledger, so many names in his book, and now his name was written in the Lamb's book. The Lamb's book of life is yours, my friend. Is your name written? Have you decided to follow Jesus? Well, my prayer is, our prayer is, our collective prayer is, I know I'm preaching to the converted in one sense, but you know, sinners need the gospel and saints love the gospel. So I don't apologize for preaching and giving that invite. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? We're going to sing our final hymn just now. It's number 274. I picked this one because it says, my tongue will be the pen of a ready writer, because that was Matthew, a man with a pen. Well, we can use our tongues as pens. We can tell out. I hear the sound of rustling in the leaves of the trees. The Spirit of the Lord has come down. The church that seemed in slumber has risen from its knees. Dry bones responding, the fruits of new birth. Now is the time for declaration. The word will go to all men everywhere. The church is here for healing of the nations. Behold, the day of Jesus drawing near. And then the chorus. Do we know this one, by the way? We don't. Some do. Yes, I'm getting the nod. I'm going to say, would you like me to sing it for you to give you the idea? No, thank you. My tongue will be the pen of a ready writer. Close the door. We want people to come in, but I don't want you to go out when I start singing as well. 274, we'll do our best.